Oh, you ChatGPT? Because I think that's the
most entry level.
Yeah, it took our jobs.
Yeah. We're able to move quicker. We're able to get, you know, better things done faster. I mean, there's some really great things happening there.
People are worried about AGI and super intelligence and the kind of cataclysm that could happen for Terminator 3 style type of thing. Yeah. I don't know.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Run Radio with your host, Quinn.
And Brian.
And you guys, we want to talk a bit today about AI. So everybody knows AI is a hot topic. I think there are just varying levels of like awareness, understanding, adoption of AI. You might talk to somebody on the streets and be like, hey, do you like AI? And generally people have an opinion. They have an idea.
Yeah. And you could almost just say it's like, you ChatGPT. Because I think that's the
most entry level.
Yeah, it's that's what people that are not kind of really getting in too deep with AI, they know ChatGPT, because ChatGPT has gone all the way wide. I would say people know Copilot probably as well. Especially old people, I think they know Copilot.
And I would say those databases are at the foundation of a lot of other AI, right? ChatGPT is an engine for many other integrated AI.
Yeah, things. And I think, I mean, as far as LLMs go, I think there's a lot that are absolutely using ChatGPT as their kind of cornerstone to accomplish other things and build new tools. Absolutely, but I would. There's definitely a lot of competition in the space at this point. I know a couple weeks ago, everybody got up in arms about DeepSeek and saying, oh, China is now winning. They've got a higher number of parameters with a lower power consumption. They're winning now. And then end up being a bunch of security issues. You know, at least from what I've seen, there's, and I don't even know where I'm trying to go with this, but yes, ChatGPT is kind of like the cornerstone, but I think more and more people,
it's getting more abundance out there.
Yes. And people are coming up against but running into AI agents in their daily lives now, whether that's on the phone or on a web chat, or, you know, they're using AI voice assistant. I mean, it's, the prevalence is definitely getting out there, but yes.
Yeah.
Most people are probably at least, hey, ChatGPT.
Sure.
But,
and I would say, so our involvement with AI, you know, our at Run, or just you and me personally, has been, I mean, I would say we were early adopters. We got introduced to AI pretty early, and we played with it really quickly. We started integrating little components here and there into our business.
And I think and this is actually before ChatGPT, but I'm trying to remember the model that came out, but, I was using a tool for content creation that at the previous agency job I was at, I remember having this total dilemma because I was like, hey, we could roll this out across these hundreds of clients this agency has and save so much money. But I can also see that would be a lot of people's jobs. And I had this total dilemma of, okay, do I bring this forward? And is this something we start to roll out? Or do I let people not be interrupted in their lives? And I did eventually go ahead and say, hey, you know, they're going to find it. Everyone's going to find out about these tools as they gain more traction. Yeah. But I think that was pretty early adoption, at least as far as marketing companies go, to bring that content creation piece, at least for certain segments of content, to all clients.
Yeah.
And so,
I remember I just started playing with it the second I heard of it. You know, I think I don't even know when and where that exactly happened. It was I want to say 2-ish years ago. I remember where I was, and I started. I had this idea. I said, "Oh my gosh, this is really great." I'm already kind of a creative person. I like the creative space. I just thrive there. But I feel like many creatives and non-creatives, you get those creative road, blocks and mental blocks. And AI really for me was just like, it was that last little push to like get past some of those little blocks. And I knew I always wanted to, write a book, and I just wanted to try it. And I'm like, maybe I'll start with a children's book. And so I wrote this whole thing. And then I was like, I wonder if I could refine this. I wonder if AI could help me kind of refine this. And so not as like an initial generator at that point, it was more of like a reviewer. I just need somebody to review what I've got and maybe give me some ideas. And then all of a sudden now I can use, image generation, and I could create a storyboard of a single children's character doing several different things. And, cause I'm not really an illustrator. And I remember coming up with a product, and I put it on Amazon Direct Kindle Publishing, and it's out there if you want to find it. It's Amy's Phonetic Alphabet, because I was learning the phonetic alphabet because I was doing I was getting my ham radio license, and I'm like, gosh, I don't know the phonetic alphabet, and I read my kids' stories all the time, and so I was like, it all kind of came together.
Yeah, I love that.
And I remember
I have a copy.
So I remember bringing it to my corporate job. And being like, you guys, look at this. I published a book and I'm so proud of it. And like, I otherwise might have like got hung up on it. And I got such a negative reaction. People were like, you are taking people's jobs away. You are minimizing what copywriters and what designers do. And I just felt so conflicted. I just sat there and I'm thinking to myself, did I take somebody's job away? I otherwise may not have ever done it at all, right? And I wasn't trying to take anybody's job away. I just wanted to see what I could do. And I was so proud of it, right? And so I think early there was – and the reason why I'm bringing this up is I think everybody has an opinion. Everybody's been exposed. And now there's these varying levels of like – interest and adoption and just like pure like stay away.
It took our jobs.
Yeah. And I'm hearing people like that are in the job seeking space, and they're like, I use AI to write my resume, and then it gets into an AI reviewed process. Those HR softwares have been using keywords for the longest time to get through the abundance of these inbound resumes, and now they're using AI to review basically AI written. So, I mean, obviously there are negatives to AI, right? We can all agree that there's like negatives to AI. There were negatives to like technology along the way, right? But there's so much good. And I think what I would like to propose to listeners is AI isn't as simple as just ChatGPT. And it's not just as simple as writing up documents for you for a paper at school. It can do so much. And so I would encourage anybody listening that might be hesitant to AI to listen to what we're about to say. There are so many more nuanced and very specific examples that we want to give to you where AI has changed the game. And if you're not ready to, roll with the punches, you will certainly fall behind. I think if you don't agree with that, hopefully we can try to convince you.
Otherwise. Yeah. Well, and I think for people that might feel like their job could be threatened, I think those are the people that need to adopt it the most. Because if you are a designer or you're a content writer, these are tools that are just going to help you be that much better, that much more effective. And by not adopting, I think that's where you might be putting yourself, behind and maybe end up in those list of people that, I mean, AI is definitely going to take some jobs, but I think it's going to create a lot of new ones as well. And that's always been the case as new technology comes out. There's always a big evolution of, people's jobs changing for that new technology. But So that would be one thing that I would say to anyone that's feeling hesitant or thinks there's a, and I think that's probably one of the more common thoughts of people that are against it, is that A, it's going to take jobs. And then I think the other is, you know, people are worried about AGI and super intelligence and the kind of cataclysm that could happen for Terminator 3 style type of thing. Yeah. I don't know.
So we have a couple of examples that we want to bring to your attention on how you could potentially use AI to change up things that you do for your business. So if you're a marketer, if you're a business owner, or somewhere in between, we want to propose a couple ideas for you that, that could be potentially beneficial to you, and give you specific examples where it's not, you know, not just this generic idea of AI and whether it's good or bad, but let's like dive in a little bit here on very specific things that we can do, that you can do, that will actually utilize AI to help you, you know, grow. So we've got a video here as well that we want to react to. I don't know what order we want to do this in.
Yeah. So, well, and so right now, Google I.O. is just wrapping up, and a lot of the conference.
And do you want to give a little bit of context?
Yeah. So each year, Google puts on a conference, Google I.O., and they go through all of their latest and greatest and what's coming down the pipe from Google as far as all of their products go. And this year, obviously, a lot has been related to AI. They're rolling out agents to help with research. They're rolling out video generation. They're rolling out AI mode is going to be available for everyone. There's essentially coming in direct competition with ChatGPT, as well as that's evolving into search, and it's rolling out. Gemini is rolling out to all Chrome users. I mean, they're making some big sweeping changes as far as AI goes, but I thought they had some really cool tools that they rolled out as well. I know I saw something today that ads in AI overviews have started to roll out. There's been some first reports of that. And so right after Google I.O. is when we see a lot of these changes start to come about. And so anyways, there were two AI videos that I thought would be interesting for everyone to see. One is obviously this new video generation tool from Google. I thought the example that I saw was very entertaining, but it was kind of mind blowing at the output, like the actual video that was coming out from it. And then the other is something related to the dangers of AI and how that can reverberate out into the world and the impact that can have. So, I don't know. Let's check out the one from Google I.O. Either one is fine, actually.
And do you want to give us some context here of what we're seeing? Let me just switch this over here.
Okay, so this is actually the video that is
for the submarine. Something,
one of the dangers of AI, and I think it's something that everyone worries about with AI, and that is, hey, especially like ChatGPT or some of these models that are not online, it doesn't have an agent that goes and browses the web, the information can not be accurate. You know, everything requires editing still. It requires human oversight at this point. And so, yeah, I thought this was very interesting as it relates to AI. So
let's make sure I've got some sound here and you guys check this out with us.
An incredibly weird is going on here, and you need to know about it even if the subject matter of this article doesn't mean anything to you. This submarine list ran in multiple national newspapers today. It's the kind of thing that looks very normal. It's a 64-page insert that ran in newspapers like the Chicago Sun-Times and the Philadelphia Inquirer. But when people started actually reading it, they noticed something very strange about the actual text, and some of you already know where this is going. For example, it promotes a new book by author Andy Weir, the guy that wrote The Martian, called The Last Algorithm, and it has a whole plot summary here. The problem is, this book doesn't exist. 10 of the 15 books on their summer reading list for 2025 don't exist. And you already know why. It turns out the author used AI to write it, ChatGPT or something similar. So readers all across the country are hearing about a new book by Percival Everett called The Rainmakers. This book will never arrive. 404 Media actually interviewed the guy who wrote the list named Marco Buscaglia, who admits he uses AI to write his articles, but says he normally checks these things. This time, this one just slipped through. You know, the entire article. Those of us who complain about AI outside of the issues of it being a plagiarism machine. This is the kind of thing we're worried about. There are uses for programs like ChatGPT, but it's only useful if you understand its limitations, and it seems like 99% of the people who use it don't. ChatGPT.
So, I mean, a lot to react here.
And yeah.
I would say this is probably what a good majority of people say when they have the argument against AI, and rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when Google rolled out AI overviews, it was doing incorrect math. It was doing really bad things as it relates to health topics. So I believe I saw something like, no, smoking's not bad for you. Like it was saying crazy things. And there are so many scenarios that are unforeseen for being able to test and have things learned that harmful or untrue information can be propagated. And I think this is a really good example of that, where this goes out to newspapers in print nationwide, reading lists of books that don't exist. It's easy to see how that can happen. I think it happens a lot around statistics. It happens a lot, where ChatGPT is just taking liberties because, as the guy in the video said, that's the limitations of, unless you're using one of the models that has an agent that can get out there and verify and check real information, it's...
So let's look at a couple of things, right? Because obviously, if you're mass producing content with ChatGPT as a marketer, as a business owner, or otherwise, poor. I think we can all agree that's poor, right? Every tool can be used for good and bad. I mean, my grandpa, an engineer, refused to use a calculator because he would, you know, he'd forget it, or the calculator could be wrong. There's no trust there, right? It's no different than the same could be said. We could get a little bit more granular here. Like when you learn languages like Bootstrap, imagine, you know, Bootstrap coming into play as, you know, initial coders, and they're like, this is cheating. And it doesn't feel like I'm being as valuable of a coder anymore. Or
right. I didn't recreate the wheel every time.
Yeah. And think about even like SQL or BigQuery, or just like Google Sheets querying. It's like, oh, if I just query it, then I don't have to know nested functions. Everybody has always said, like, this feels like I shouldn't be doing it. But ultimately, then the people that thrive are the people that say, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to figure out how to use this to propel me further than I otherwise would have been able to.
AI assisted content, human edited topics, still curated by the author, but helps you get over some of those creative humps, I think, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I think there are one thing that I worry about with it personally, and I think I kind of line up with your grandpa there, which is these are, you know, creative muscles are muscles.
Sure.
And if we don't flex them, they atrophy. And I worry about that element of it, of not taking the time or not knowing the basics and just allowing something to do all the heavy lifting for me, and that having that atrophy. But there are elements and ways to be using AI where that's not the case. And so I think there's absolutely positive use cases, but this was an interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. And certainly that's why we brought it up, is because we want to acknowledge the negative. We're not coming in here and being like, hey, everything AI is great.
Hey, I made this website that's making $10,000 a month using all AI. Let me show you the blueprint of how you can make a money machine with AI.
Yeah. Right. So let's talk about some of this. So, okay, you guys may be less familiar with like website building or code, but that's kind of where we live a lot of our time. And so consider a reality where, you know, a client comes to us, might come to you, and they need some like specific functionality added to the site. In the past, that might have looked like a lot of trial and error, right? It's like playing with code yourself, diving into Quora or diving into Reddit and looking at examples, testing out code, putting it on, you know, maybe finding plugins or widgets to install. Or now when somebody comes to us and looks for something like this, the reality is, you know, we can go and quickly go in and generate versions of potential solutions, have it iterate. This doesn't work. Try this, right? And basically pump out really quickly what otherwise might have taken half a day or multiple days. Now we can get some of that functionality. Is that bad, right? Is there inherently, I would say, that makes us more efficient. It makes clients happier. We're able to move quicker. We're able to get, you know, better things done faster. I mean, there's some really great things happening there that otherwise really would have just taken me longer. Not yeah, necessarily.
I think there's a whole group of people that are getting into what they're calling vibe coding. I don't know why they use the phrase vibe for it. But you know, if anyone who's familiar with Cursor and being able to connect that with Claude and being able to write code, have it output in front of you in real time to test and rapid prototype like never before. But I know a lot of these vibe coders, they're putting out entire apps, entire websites. They are some of the kind of like building a business. A lot of the vibe coders get into that sphere of, hey, I made this and now it's a business in 6 hours type of thing. But I think that has been excellent to be able to rapid prototype and move fast and create maybe even better, definitely in the amount of time, much better than we would be able to produce in that same amount of time without it.
And I think what happens is there's this tide rises for all effect, right? Now we start to see software that existed out there, right? Software that we use, like maybe Go High Level or other functional based software. They learn and they're debugging faster and they're getting new features faster, basically helping everybody with the thing that they bought the thing for, right? Yep. So I just start to see that this tide rises for all kind of happening faster and better, which is a really exciting, as long as you're moving your feet, right? I think anybody who's moving their feet right now, making efforts, trying things, they're probably finding that AI is helping them in that endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said a tool can be used for good or bad. And I think it's just how everyone wields it. But I think there's a lot of people wielding it positively, and we're seeing some really cool things.
So the next video we want to talk about, and we're going to kind of do a little bit of a pivot here on this podcast. You guys, we see, here's the reality. You know, we're marketers. What do we have? We've got maybe a couple hundred subscribers to, you know, this podcast. We get a handful of interactions with our social media. Why do we even keep doing it? One, we know that marketing takes time, organic marketing, good marketing, right? It's going to take us time. But also we know that like we want to organically have people connect with us, right? Well, otherwise we wouldn't be on here, right? We want people to see that we're real and that we're really doing this stuff and we're having real results.
I think it's a content muscle that is really great to be working out. And the same goes for getting in front of the camera. Both of those things are not something that you can just easily step into. Whether that comes from production quality or even just feeling comfortable. I could think back to some of the very first videos that we did and I was like,
cringy. Yeah. And something that we've always lived by is, you know, if you look back in time and you cringe, that means you grew, right? If you're not cringing at the past, it's likely you didn't do a lot of growth. I mean, maybe there's some give and take in there. But yeah, for the most part, if you're looking back in the past and you've got a little bit of like cringe going on, it's a good indicator that you're growing and that you're progressing. But I would say We know we have strengths. We know we have weaknesses. We are really good at websites. We're really good at SEO. We're trying our hand at production quality, you know, production stuff, videography and photography. We know that that's not our bread and butter. We know that social, especially organic social, really isn't our bread and butter. We can do them. So why do I bring that up? We're good at some things. We're less good at some things. That's the nature of everybody's life and everybody's profession. So why don't we go out to the world and be like, hey, you guys, listen up. We had huge successes with shipping container companies, you know, or we have huge successes with plumbers, right? And because of that, because we're so good at that, we actually decided to go and now be coaches for plumbing marketers, because we know how to solve that problem. We rather than now sell our services to plumbers, we're going to go teach other plumbing marketers how to be good plumbers.
Yeah, it was actually really easy. You just didn't know this one thing.
right
This one little thing that we can sell you, this answer to all your problems.
So I think we often will, you know, we'll get conversations that come up and it's like, hey, you know, you guys are marketers. If you're so good at marketing, why isn't your YouTube channel at like 50,000 subscribers and, you know, hundreds of thousands of views? One, there is certainly a group out there that are going after the clicks. They're going after the engagement. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, because we've been kind of, we've been corralled by all these algorithms to do certain things to work.
Absolutely. And the engagement farming is real. And I think there's people making money doing that engagement farming.
Huge. On various levels out there.
Right. Even just like clip channels, right? You see clip channels get taken of other people's content that gets people huge followings and tons of engagement. They're getting big checks from their ex profile for reposting other people's stuff. I mean, there's it going after, you know, what causes people to react or what causes people to watch. I think there is a market for that, but I don't see the originality or creative lens through that. And I don't think that's often where people are learning from, it's a different avenue for sure.
I mean, consider, it's a popular thing right now. If you've got Hulu, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, we live in Utah. I'm a member of the LDS Church. It's very prevalent in our community right now, but, huge amounts of just massive migrations of people watching content that is, and if you watch the show at all, I mean, they've even outed themselves. It's basically they're trying to get that engagement, and they'll tell straight up lies to get engagement.
Right.
And it's so crazy. So I guess we're getting somewhere here. And that is, you know, we could throw up a click. And we're going to, you know, we're trying to put something out there that's relevant to this podcast, so you know what you're going to watch for. But we could throw something up like, you know, if we mention, I don't know,
clickbait title.
Yeah, some crazy title. And we don't want to grow ourselves that way. But anyway, the reason why we're bringing this up is there is a video that we've stumbled across, and it is one of so many of its kind and businesses of its kind. And so let's watch it and let's get into it. Is that all right? Let's do that. So I'm going to jump over here. We've already got it over to about halfway through. You can check it out. These guys do a lot of good things. We're not just calling them. I think this is bad marketing. So I think this here is a guest on bad marketing. Let's listen to what he has to say real quick here.
I have this other passion, so I got a lot of scrutiny. But once I started to make it, what happened? I had a group of other people like, dude, teach me how to do that too. Raise me up to where you're at, right? So it's because of scrutiny expectations is the reason why I got into coaching. So you know as well as I know that there's a lot of freaking gurus that get a 900 square foot condo in Miami, and they're like, "Hey, I'm in the penthouse," right? And there's these people that are like faking it till they make it. It's like, no, and saying like, "Hey, I have this skill set that can change your life." Dude, I was minding my own business.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. He's trying to differentiate himself from what we're talking about.
Yes.
And we're saying you might be more like them than you think. But yeah, there are people that are basically not done anything that are like, "Hey, everybody," I call it the mattress effect. I might have mentioned this on a previous podcast, but if you've ever driven around and on a corner of some intersection, you'll see, "Want to make 10K or 20K a month? Call this number." And, yeah. And sometimes you'll see, it's this idea. Basically they use mattresses as a facade, but you're never ever selling mattresses. Basically what you're doing is you're making money by having people buy into learning how to sell mattresses, by teaching other people how to go find people to tell them how to sell mattresses. Nobody's ever selling mattresses. They're just going out, putting signs out about selling mattresses and making 10K a month. And how can you do it too?
Yeah, there's a similar thing for real estate investors. Make 10K a month in real estate investing, but we just bought this like 50-cent sign.
Right.
And they're posted all over town, and yeah, it's a similar thing.
So what? You know, we're a marketing agency. We make good money. I would say we're still figuring that all out.
But yeah.
We've now been on our own for a good amount of time. We do well by our clients. We don't have termed contracts. People stay with us because we're providing value for them. What if we just went out to the world? I mean, we could put out a video that says, make 50 to 100K a month in, 90 to 120 days. It would go really well for us. Why don't we do that? I mean, I want to hear your thoughts here too.
Honestly, I guess you've mentioned this kind of
metaphor
for it, which is, for all the fishermen out here now, instead of, now let's sell the fishing poles. So, or teaching them how to fish.
I'm a really good fisher. Trust me, I'm really good at fishing. And this is my secret, is actually this pole. And you need it because you want to be a good fisherman.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I mean, I guess it, to me, it feels a little bit scammy. And the reason I say that is because, to make and do well at marketing, it's not just this one easy trick that takes 60 seconds and you just didn't know it. Or, you see that in all avenues of life now, we've got this figured out, this really hard thing. And now you can buy it, and we're going to tell you how we did that really hard thing and train you how to do it, when in actuality, it still is a really hard thing. And there's no magic key to open up the doors to the universe. So, in my opinion.
And to bring this back to the AI conversation, it is more prevalent now than it has ever been before.
Yes.
And so, if you guys are looking to grow your businesses, if you're trying to build your own business, maybe you want to fire your boss and make 10K a month. I think those are really common buzz, phrases for people. You can do it. And certainly there are people out there. We're doing that, right? We could very well teach people how to do that. Maybe we ought to. But the reality, I think the reason why we're bringing this up is because, you've got to do, sometimes we just need good fishermen.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. I feel like a lot of them are trying to capitalize on people's want for more time or freedom in their life. They're trying to capitalize on people's dreams rather than worrying about, hey, am I going to actually help these people have better success? They know everyone has that desire to be able to support their family better or go on that vacation. They're capitalizing on people's dreams. And I think that's a little bit,
it's a borderline. And this isn't the only industry that does it. Obviously there are many industries that do it. I worked at USANA Health Sciences for a couple years internally, not as like an associate. But I think a lot of direct sales sees this. I think a lot of direct sales. And this was hard for me being on the corporate side where all this abundance of money was coming in to kind of just flourishing the home base of this company. And you see people just bankrupting. You see, because there's these dreams of like, look at this person won a car and they're going to these conventions. And there are a handful of success stories because they've built that infrastructure of network below them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks that they can be that too. And networks have to have somebody on the bottom. And the reality is 90%+ of the people are there. And so, gosh, it's just so hard for us to see that. And then that being the face of marketing so often for so many people. And they're like, why isn't my marketing working? Because you've got a lot of people who are trying to be fishermen, who went and bought a fishing pole from a master fisherman who turned out to not really be a fisherman at all and just was selling fishing poles. If you're following the metaphor,
well, yeah, and right? You, in this video that we're reacting to, he says he started going down this path because he got a fancy car. And then people were like, oh, I, what do? I want to do what you're doing too. Teach me. And it's like, because people want that fancy car.
Right.
And so I think it falls into that trap.
So the reason why we bring it up in today's episode is like, we are so excited to continue to grow Run. We're so excited to continue to grow partners. Even this week, we've seen just so many fun, exciting wins from, you know, it's the precipice of summer. We're seeing a lot of seasonality coming into play, volumes coming up. We play by the rules and we're seeing a lot of our sites get more and more keywords and indexed, and that's exciting for us, you guys. And rather than maybe put in front of you some clickbaity title, or just trying to piggyback off of these viral ideas, we'd hope that this is also super valuable to you and that we're talking about real stuff that are, you know, can help you grow your business, that stuff that we're doing right now that's growing our business. That's kind of the idea here.
Yeah. And I think one thing that we always tell people going into it is this is not magic. This is not a set it and forget it service. Actually, you're going to have a ton of homework and we need a lot out of you as well. And we need your time and you need to be involved. And so I think we've set that expectation that we're not just going to take a few grand from you and then everything's going to be okay and you're magically winning. This is real work, takes real time. It's an investment into an asset and we're going to help you make that thrive. But we're not trying to capitalize on people's dreams. And I think that's something that really turns me off about the fishing pole salesman.
Yeah. Well, you guys, so maybe a final comment here is, we started a Discord channel. We're willing to do like a Facebook group as well, but we'd love to have a community of people that maybe not ready for a marketing service, but are interested in growing a business for themselves. Maybe you are trying to fire your boss and you'd like some of that and you don't want to pay somebody a fishing pole salesman on how to do that. Maybe there are people out there that would like to just jump in that community with us and start asking us questions. How did you do it? How did you go out on your own? What are some top things that you guys would recommend? We're happy to give that knowledge. And I think we would more than happy give that knowledge for free in a community like that. We'd love to post, updates in algorithms and things that we're seeing from Google I/O and otherwise, take questions. Would you be interested in that? So, we've got a Discord ready to go. We can share a link. We would love to hear from you guys if that would be valuable to you. We want to just know that there are people out there that would be interested. Whether it's the Discord, which we've got, or a Facebook group, let us know in the comments of this video, or any of the videos that go out from this. But any other comments you wanted to make?
No, that's it.
Awesome, you guys. Well, this is Run Radio, where we talk about all things growing your business, marketing updates, and, you know, where we are just passionate about all these fun things that are happening. It is a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be a marketer. It's a good time to be a business owner, and it's a good time to be trying stuff. And so if that's stuff that you're interested in, you guys, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Leave us a comment. Drop a like. reach out to us. We'd love to, if you'd like to be on the podcast, we'd love to have you. We've had several in the past. And with that, this is Run Radio with your host, Quinn.
And Brian.
Grow fast.
Scale smart.
Thanks, you guys. Hey, you guys, thanks for watching this video. Of course, we hope that you liked it, and we hope that you want to share it with your friends. Maybe even press that like button for us. Maybe even subscribe. You could toggle the notification bell so that you get notified when we put out our new videos. If you found this content helpful, you guys, go ahead and visit rundigital.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter there, where you will receive then all the latest and greatest from Run Radio news and updates, of course, in marketing and in business growth. You can find the sign up on the homepage of the site. Of course, if you're looking for help in your business or your agency, you can reach out directly to us from the website, or you can even check out our completely transparent pricing on rundigital.com/pricing. You guys, we do white label our services to other agencies who may not feel like they have the capabilities to fulfill on some of the things that their clients need. So you can hit us up about that. If nothing else, you can certainly find us on all the socials, where we have short form videos on quick tips and tricks that you can do to fix your marketing mistakes right now, or to just get more out of your digital footprint for your business. Anyway, as always, we'll see you in the next video. This is Quinn with Run, Grow Fast, Scale Smart.